Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I thank you for joining in today. God bless you for studying the Word of God and honoring the Lord by getting into His Word however you can. And thank you for listening to these. I know it takes patience to listen to somebody that don't know how to talk professional and all, but that's not why I'm doing this. I'm doing it to get God's wonderful Word to whoever wants to listen to it and study it and to draw nearer to the Lord and have a daily ration of God's Word, because we know we need it, don't we? And let me tell you, there's no way that I think I'm anybody as far as this. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to do this. And I got to admit, the devil fights this as much as he possibly can, trying to keep me from doing this. And I understand all that. And if you've been in any kind of warfare with the enemy at all for any amount of time, you know that one of the things that the enemy tries to keep you away from is God's Word. And he'll do everything that he can. But thank you for listening. And today we're going to start a brand new study. But there's a few things I want to say before we get started. We're going to start with the letter Q today. And it's going to be called Questions Often Asked. And you say, "What, Brother Thurman, what's that mean?" Well, in Christianity, and even before we got saved, the world's got a lot of questions having to do with what does the Bible say? And on many, many different subjects, you know. I mean, you've even said it yourself. Well, what's the Bible say about abortion? What's the Bible say about where babies go when they die? What's the Bible say about this? And what's the Bible say about that? Well, there are a lot of questions that we're going to go specifically into. And this study is going to cover a lot of those and just go over the things that questions are, that are often asked. And you'll see more about that in just a minute. But I want to mention some things to you. I have all of these lessons on paper. And as we go through these lessons and as we go through the scriptures, it's all written down. And it goes from top to bottom in order together along with these audios. And if you would like to have them, you're very welcome to them. Not that my typing or you probably see my grammar and you say, "Man, oh man, he needs some help." But anyway, I do the best I can with this old crazy computer and just getting these things. But it helps. If you got it on paper, you're not only studying God's Word with your ears and listening to it on these audios, but you're also seeing it with your eyes. And the Bible says in Lamentations, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." Mine eye affecteth mine heart. So if you want these things on paper to where you can just sit there and as you're listening to this, or not even if you're listening to this, you can go and follow down through these just like I use these in classes when I'm teaching in classes, and I actually pass these out to everybody. And some of you listening to this, you know how I used to do that. But you can go right down through the study, and it not only goes in your ears, but it goes in your eyes, and you're actually getting twice as much absorption of the Word of God. And if you'd like to have it, just email me, and you can get a hold of me at Barnhouse Ministries. That's Barnhouse Ministries. @gmail.com, all lowercase letters. Now, anytime you want to get a hold of me about anything having to do with this lesson or anything having to do with ministry things, please contact me with that. Now, I did give out another email, which is also good. I love you forever @gmail.com, and that is also mine, but it's a personal one. But ministry one is Barnhouse Ministries. Okay, enough of that. If you want these things, just shoot me an email if you will, or you can call me and I'll give you my phone number. And you can I'll email these to you or mail them to you, however you want them. But if you'd like to have them, you're welcome to them. Secondly, I'd like to say that in these studies, I've got all the way A through Z on these studies and already completed. And there's a lesson in every letter having to go through there. But I never stop putting this lesson together. In other words, there might be two lessons on the letter B. There might be Bible, a lesson on Bible, and there might be another lesson that comes up, say, believing, and two different lessons with the lesson B. So if you're ever listening to me, and we begin another study like what it is, like we're going into letter Q today. If it sounds like I've inserted something or it doesn't sound like I'm following suit, it's because I've taken a lesson and stuck it in there somewhere, and it came up after we did the lesson. So if it doesn't sound like, most of the time when we're going through A to through Z, it's like we just stopped talking for a little bit and I picked it back up and we kept going every lesson. And most of the time it's going to be that way. But if it ever sounds weird to you that I'm not following suit or I've lost my mind or something, which ain't that far off either, but if it ever sounds weird to you, it's because I've stuck another lesson in there and it was when I did it at another time, okay? Now, and I've slipped a lesson in there. Now, in these lessons, we're only going to study from the King James Bible, the King James Version, the Authorized Version, the Textus Receptus, the Reformation text. And that's what I believe. That's what God the Holy Ghost has shown me. That's what I got saved out of. And that has been faithful to me, and it's never given me any kind of doubt or confusion or perplexed me in any way. So that's what I believe, and I want you to know that in these lessons, it's not far that I could make a mistake with the Scriptures. And if you ever hear me say something, it's because I believe it, that I have studied the Word of God, and I'm not saying I'm somebody or anything like that. I'm just saying I have been in the Word of God. Everything that I'm teaching you, I have been over myself. And if I make a mistake in something and the Word of God says something different, you be sure to get a hold of me because I want to know the truth. I want to believe the truth. If there's anything that I say is wrong at all, and I'm not saying I can be wrong about things, but if there's anything that I am wrong about, please get a hold of me and let me know, and we'll look at the Scriptures, and if I'm wrong, I'll change what I believe. But everything that I believe that I'm teaching is everything that I believe. I'm not getting this from anybody else, even though you do have mentors. But God the Holy Ghost, I have peace with what I believe. And God the Holy Ghost is faithful to teach you if you want to learn. And I believe that what I'm teaching is God's truth, and I have a peace with that, and there's nothing between me and the Lord as far as this teaching goes. And if I'm wrong, please tell me, and I'll change what I believe. But I'm only going to believe what's according to the Word of God, not what you think or not what I think or not what we, it would be better if it sounded like this. No, I don't go with all that stuff. I believe the truth. And I want the truth, and so should you. So, but don't hesitate to get a hold of me. But I want you to know that everything that I'm saying here on these lessons, especially in this lesson we're fixing to go into, questions often asked, we're going to get on some hard subjects. And you're going to see some things in the Bible that you might not have seen before or ever heard of before. And it's going to be, there might be some things in this lesson where you need to change your thinking and what you believe. And if you do, do it. If it gets you to believe the truth, then change what you believe. You can do that, you know. You don't have to believe a lie just because you believed it 10 years in a row. If you're wrong, change what you believe. And we believe, what we believe is our doctrine. What you believe to be what is and is not is called your doctrine in your life. And your doctrine is determined on who or what your final authority is. Now, if God is your final authority and the Word of God is your final authority, then you get your doctrine, what you believe to be and not to be, from your final authority, the Word of God. And you are trusting in the Word of God and in God Himself to tell you the truth and to teach you the truth, and so you can believe the truth. And that's what we do, see. Now, there's some people that believe in Buddha, some people believe in Muhammad, and that's their final authority, and they get their doctrine from them. But, you better be right, because everybody's going to slip into eternity one day. And the Bible says there's no discharge in that war. Everybody's going to the grave. It says no man hath the power to retain the spirit in the day of death. And I've seen men die with my own eyes. And that flesh tries to hang on to that spirit as hard as it can. It don't want to let it go. But no man has the power. When it's time for you to go, you're going to go, and you better be right, and you better have a right kind of final authority, too. I know we have the final authority, don't you? We trust in the living God, and the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior, and the Word of God is our doctrine. So let's get into the study. How about that? We're talking about questions often asked. This is study number 17, the letter Q. The letter Q. Now, Bible studies and ABCs of Christian Growth series are specifically designed to teach you the basics and the beginnings of the Christian life without getting into deep doctrinal issues, which I'm not completely against any kind of deep doctrinal issues. We need to get into deep doctrinal issues, but that stuff comes as we grow. These are the ABCs. And not to say that we might not touch some of that stuff as we go through it, but deep doctrinal issues and the Bible talks about getting into the deep things of God and the Lord showing you deeper things. It talks about that. But these are designed for the basics and the beginnings of the Christian life. For somebody that could sit here and listen to it right after they got saved and they don't know nothing about God or nothing about the Word of God and they need to know. You don't teach a little child calculus. You know, you get him through fundamentals of math and in algebra and algebra 2 and blah, 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 and all that. And I don't even know why I brought up math, because I don't even like – I was real good at math when they was using numbers. But when they changed the letters, they messed my world up. And I do pretty good adding up what I need to add up, okay? The basics and the beginnings of the Christian life was without getting into deep issues with questions that would cause confusion. Now, the Bible warns us about asking questions. Now, remember the title to our study, Questions Often Asked. So what this study is going to be about is questions. We're going to start out and ask a question, and then we're going to get into the Scriptures and find out what the Scriptures say about that question. And then we're going to go to another question, and we're going to do that. But the Bible warns us about getting into questions that cause confusion. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. It says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints," the Bible says. Okay, so we're going to avoid getting into any kind of confusion. And the Bible tells us that when you're in a conversation with people and there are questions being asked or you're not ever getting to the end of anything or answering the question, get out of it. Because you're not supposed to be in a conversation where there's nothing but question after question after question after question. In this study, we're going to ask the question, but we're going to answer it. And when we go to the next question, you will know what the Bible says of the prior question that we have been on, okay? So don't get it wrong. The Word of God is not confusion and never has the intention of confusing the sincere student. The Bible says God's not the author of confusion. He is the author of peace. God wants you to have peace about everything that you know because it's truth. However, the Lord has been known and even declares that he will bring the insincere person to confusion. You know, the Lord, you mess with that Bible and the Lord will mess with your mind. I've seen that happen to lots of folks, haven't you? People start messing with God's Word and trying to change it and trying to manipulate it and try to make it sound like what they want. You can make the Bible say anything you want it to say if you're insincere. But if you love the Lord and you're searching in God's Word for the truth, then you're searching for what God says about it. Okay, but you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. But when you start doing that, and you come about these lessons like that, that you're going to outsmart God and make a fool out of God, the Lord will make a fool out of you, and His Word will too. So let's not do that. The Lord, He will bring an insincere person to confusion, and that a lot of times through questions. In Genesis chapter 11, verse 7 through 9, listen to this. It says, "Go to, let us go down, and therefore confound their language." God did that on purpose, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon all the face of the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. The Lord came down, and on purpose, He confused them. And the Lord does confuse people that try to mess with His Word or try to build a tower going up into heaven and act like you're going to outsmart God. So let's not do that. Let's not approach the Lord like that. Let's approach the Lord with respect that He deserves and honor that He deserves and the worship that He deserves. And let's learn the Word of God. And let's learn it because it brings us peace. And it lets us live in peace, and we know the truth about things. This world is very confusing. There's deceit everywhere. And we need the Word of God to keep them blinders on our eyes to look straight ahead to know what the truth is. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 through 31 says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise." There you go with that confusion again. Wise people look up and they see the foolish people and God working in their lives and it just blows them away. "And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence." There's the ticket right there. We don't want to study the Word of God so we can hold our shoulders back and say, "Look at me, Lord." Because we don't want the Lord looking at us like that, because the Lord says that if we're weighed in the balances, we're altogether vanity. And we're lighter than vanity, the Bible says. And the Bible says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." So we're just having a little introduction to these questions often asked and how we're going to approach them, and be very careful about how we do this thing, okay? Now, doctrine is very important in the Scriptures and is commanded to be learned. 2 John chapter 1, verse 10 says, "If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed." So the Bible is interested, very interested in us learning doctrine and knowing doctrine. But the way in which the Christian learns Bible is not that much different than the principles of learning in school. We begin with the basics. Then every level of advancement, or as we move through life and we learn this and learn this and stack what we learn on top of what we learned before and this, that, and the other advancement, learn something new that we stack truth on top of one another and what has already been learned. You don't replace a truth with a truth that you've learned before. A dear brother that's one of my mentors, he taught me that, and it made a big difference in my walk with the Lord, is that once the Lord has taught you a truth, you keep that truth forever. And the truth never fails to be the truth. But then when you learn something else about that same subject that is also truth, you don't dismiss the prior truth that you had in order to replace it with the truth that you have just found out. What you do is stack truth upon truth, and you keep both truths, and then you get a wider and more clearer vision of what that truth is about, you see. The idea is to keep the lies out and keep the deceit out and what is not so out, okay? But you stack truth. And in the process of establishing doctrine, what is and what is not for the believer. Now, although the process there will be questions often asked that are sincere and valid and cheerfully answered by God's wonderful word. God's going to answer us because we're going to go at it the right way. Now, as with most things in life, we never stop learning, and we'll find ourselves asking a question like, well, what does the Bible say about this, and what does the Bible say about that? And there's probably going to be that, I think the wiser you get in the Word of God, or the more you learn, at least with me, and I don't know very much, but when you get to where you're not a babe in the Lord anymore, but you're learning, you get to where you don't approach the Lord with questions as much. You just learn how to live for the Lord and more interested in that rather than just asking questions. Now, we do ask questions, but not as many. Just kind of like my daughters whenever they were growing up. One of them, they would get into their question asking the time in their life when they go, I don't know what it is, what you would call it, but every child goes through it. They get into the whys. But why, Daddy? But why? 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 Because you got a bone in your arm. That's what my brother used to ask so many questions about why. He'd say, because you got a bone in your arm. and that's why she had, you got to be careful how you answer those, but just so many whys, you know. But after the child grows up a little bit, you know, they don't ask those whys anymore. They're learning, and they don't have as many questions anymore. Same with us and our learning what the Bible has to say. Now, many of your and my questions have already been answered in past lessons and that we've done in this ABCs of Christian Growth, and more to be in the future ones. In this particular study, you're going to find Bible answers to a number of commonly asked questions, which are not covered in other lessons. In other words, abortion. That's only going to be in this lesson, what the Bible says. It's not found in any of the other lessons. This is one study that will no doubt expand as different questions come up and are asked. So don't hesitate to ask your pastor about things. And if you need more explanation on it or something, you're welcome to email me, and I'll find what I can in the Word of God. If you want to ask me about that, I'll do what I can. But don't hesitate to ask your pastor anything that you want to know about God's Word. God's Word is truth and can be trusted without fail. The Bible says in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. It says in Psalms 12:6-7, the words of the Lord are pure words. Now, they either are or they are not. They either are or they're not. Now, God says they're pure. It says, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God's in control of his word, not man. Man thinks he's in control of something, but he's about as stupid as he can be, man trying to control God's Word. Just think about that for a minute. You know? Now, God's Word does not fear any question. God doesn't run from questions. He's not scared of questions. But what the Lord does turn away from that we should be warned about is about approaching the living word of the living God in any way other than humbly and sincerely. we don't want to approach God and God's Word with a smart aleck attitude, or you're going to teach me, or this is not, or acting like this is not our privilege to find out something from the Lord, because it is. So when we ask questions, let's approach it like we sincerely want the answer and we want the truth about the matter, because that's what we want to believe in our heart. Now, God magnifies His Word above His name. The Bible says in Psalm 138 and verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The Lord magnifies His word even above the Son of God's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. But the Word of God, the written Word of God, is magnified above the Lord's name. He said it Himself. Why wouldn't we believe that? And the Lord's not going to tolerate anyone at any time mishandling or falsifying what it says. Now, I don't know how you feel about changing God's Word. I told you that what I say on these and what I read and what we talk about from the Word of God, I believe to be true, and I believe that God the Holy Ghost has taught me that as truth. Now, if you see it the same way, you see it because that's what God's Word says, not because Thurman said it, but because that's what God's Word says, right? And that's the way it should be. But we should never mishandle God's Word or falsify it. The Bible warns us about that. It says in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. How does anybody miss that? That's just about as simple a 5-year-old could understand that verse. I could ask little Susie, 5 years old, and say, little Susie, God says, add thou not unto His word, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. What's that mean, little Susie? Well, Brother TV, that means that God don't want you changing His words or saying anything that He didn't say. I bet you little Susie knows more than some of these scholars, doesn't he? Doesn't she? You better be careful messing with God's words. And this is introduction into this to see how we're going to approach this and how you ought to approach God's word anyway. Anytime you open those covers of God's word, that's the way that we ought to approach God's word, is not to mishandle it or falsify it. Now, His word is both a sweet and it's also a hammer. The Bible calls it in Jeremiah. Chapter 23, verse 28 through 30, it says, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. You know, in Jeremiah, it happens a lot about this changing God's word and cutting God's word up and disrespecting God's word and mishandling and falsifying God's word. And God is very interested, and He watches how people treat His word. So you and me are going to be very careful about this, and we're going to respect the Lord, and we're going to let the Lord know on purpose that we're prayerfully and respectfully and humbly approaching this study about these questions that we're going to ask. And we're going to find out and trust what His Word says about it. Okay? And that's pretty good thinking, ain't it? Because that's the way the Lord wants us to. When your children come and ask you questions, you require a certain kind of question asking before you'll answer them seriously, right? They come up and act like all smarty pants and like you owe it to them and that you're going to do it, whether they say so or blah, blah, blah. They'd be lucky to get away without a slap in the mouth or something, huh? The Lord's not frightened to distribute either. The Lord loves giving out His word. He loves teaching us. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 19, verse 10 and 11, listen to this. More to be desired are they, talking about God's word, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. And they are sweet. If you've ever tasted God's word, you want more. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. It says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. That's what God says. So let us proceed with caution and fear and anticipation. Amen? All right, there we go. That's a good introduction, ain't it? Anyway, I better hush before I choke up here and a fly goes down my throat or something. Anyway, there are some things that we need to keep in mind when we're asking God's word questions. Okay? The Bible is God's complete revelation of himself to man. Everything God wants you to know about himself is written in his book. All the secret things that he does not want you to know, he did not put them in there, and he don't want you to be interested in trying to find them out. Like, what is God's shoe size? Isn't that ignorant? If God wants you to know that stuff, it's in there. And we're not supposed to make up stories and lies about what God's word does not talk about. If it doesn't talk about it, God didn't want us to know. Let me ask you something. Do you believe that there's always going to be something that God knows that you don't know? Of course. Do you believe you know half of what everything God knows? I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't come anywhere near that. How much percentage do you believe that you know about God? Well, then God's smarter than us, right? And there are some things that God cannot communicate to us because we're human. And God is eternal. God is a spirit. God is God. There are some things, and this is part of another study, but things that God can communicate to us and things that God cannot communicate to us. God can't communicate eternity, eternal, to us. He can't communicate. He can't communicate that to us. But he can communicate love to us. He can teach us about love. But he can't. There's some things that the Lord cannot teach to us because we couldn't understand them. You see. But the Bible is God's complete revelation. Now, what is a revelation? A revelation is something that was a mystery and something that was hidden before and now has been revealed. The Bible is God's complete revelation of himself to man. The Bible says it right there in Psalm 12, 6 and 7. We read that just a minute ago. It says the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. In Psalm 119, in verse 89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So it's apparent that the Lord's teaching us right here that everything that we need to know is complete. God didn't leave anything left out. So we don't need to be adding to God's word or taking away from God's word. There's enough in God's word already to blow a man's brains out of his head. You could study for 100 years and you're still not going to, like a little girl asked her daddy that's a preacher and says, Daddy, so what are you going to do when you've preached all your messages? There's no such thing as preaching all your messages, honey. God's word never stops. It's a constant flowing faucet of life. It is always got something in it to learn. We're never going to get to the end of God's word and learning. just about the time. You could read it 500 times, and when you go back and you ask any person that's read God's Word through and continually reading it and studying it, and you probably know it better than I do, that you're always going to find that God, the Holy Ghost, is going to show you something new every time if you're sincere about it. Sometimes it's going to be like trying to take a algebra test. And I don't know why I'm talking so much about math, but sometimes it's like trying to pull a mule out of the field, trying to get something from God's Word, but you're learning, but you don't know what you're learning. And sometimes it's sweeter than honey, and you can't get enough of it, and you can't wait until the next time you get some more. So learning the Lord's Word is all based on how that heart attitude is. It ain't got nothing to do with whether you can learn and whether God will teach you. It's got to do with what your attitude is like and what your heart is about. The Lord, through His Word, has given man everything he thinks that we need to know about Him exactly as He wanted us to know it. Now, we do not need Greek or Hebrew, and I'm not against Greek or Hebrew. Just to let you know, I don't know any Greek or Hebrew. Any Greek or Hebrew I know, I might have said it by accident. I don't know any Greek and Hebrew because, and I'll tell you why. Because I don't speak Greek and Hebrew. I speak English. And God gave me a Bible in English. And I understand it perfectly. And the Lord has convicted me of my sin in it. He has given me eternal life through it. He has introduced me to the Son of God through it. He has shown me that He is a Trinity through it. He has, God the Holy Ghost teaches me. He has shown me that I need to pray and talk with my Lord. He has taught me everything that I need to know so far in English. Now, I know that surprises you, but I'm sorry, I just don't know no Greek and Hebrew, and to be completely honest with you, I ain't interested in it. I don't want to know any of it. If you like studying Greek and Hebrew, go right ahead. But I speak English, and these studies are going to be in English. Or the original autographs. Now, I don't know how much you know about all that, and I'm not going to get into it so much. But you got to be careful about these things because you think you're going to get so smart that you're smarter than God. And you don't never get so good at serving God that you don't need God to serve Him. Did you get that? You never get so smart and so good at serving God that you don't need Him to serve Him. Now, you remember that and you'll do good. We don't need Greek and Hebrew. We don't need the original autographs because the original autographs are non-existent. They're not around. Nobody's ever seen them that's living and breathing today. Nobody's ever seen them. And they're not going to be seen. They were on paper. And paper and papyrus and all that stuff rotted and went away. We got copies of God's Word, and they are inspired just as the Lord had written them down and given them to us personally. I believe that, and I know it in my heart, and God the Holy Ghost has taught me that, and He'll teach you that if you'll believe Him. And we don't need something from Dr. So-and-so and what Dr. Such-and-such has said in their opinion to make it easier for us. If somebody wants to teach you, make sure that they are teaching that. First thing to do is make sure that the person that's teaching you loves the Lord more than you do and that they are interested in God's Word at least as much as you are and that they are studying God's Word and they're sincere about God's Word. And they're living like a Christian. They're living Christ-like. I'm not putting anybody that's got doctrine in front of their name down. I'm not against that. I'm not against all that. What I'm against is somebody acting like they're better than God because they're not. And I'm not, and you're not, and nobody else is. We are privileged to know our Lord, and we should remember that, and we should keep it that way, especially when we're asking questions and wanting to know something about God's Word. God will make you a fool out of you, and He'll pull your pants down in front of everybody if you make Him. He's done that to me before, and He'll embarrass you in front of everybody. if you're trying to make a fool out of him. But that's not what this study is about. We're not going into this study like that. We're going in here to answer some questions, you know, and Lord, teach us about what this is. Is abortion right or wrong? And then we're going to get into God's Word and find out. What I do about my worries? Well, we're going to get into God's Word and find out what He says about it. And we're going to believe Him, and we're going to go believing. And we're going to change our minds and get our minds believing what God's Word says. That's what we're going to do. Okay? So, the Holy Ghost knows English and can help us to understand what we need to know in English. All right? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. The Bible says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now that's Bible. Do you hear what it said? Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie. And even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. Talking about God the Holy Ghost being in us and teaching us. So aren't you glad of that? God the Holy Ghost has taught you things, hasn't He? Sure has me. And we can trust Him. But there's nothing. He's not advising us not to be taught by men. He's advising us not to put men up on a pedestal to where just because they got doctor and blobity, 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 blob, because there's no flesh that's going to glory in front of the Lord. And we're not interested in that kind of study. We're interested in the study that brings us nearer to the Lord to help us to understand the Lord and His will and how we can be pleasing in His sight. Now, the Bible has the answer. That's another thing we need to know before we get into this. The Bible does have the answer. Remember, the answer is not hinged on opinions, on tradition, on likes or not likes, or warm fuzzies. The Bible answers questions as a holy, compassionate, sovereign God would answer, truthfully. Many times the answer cannot be found in a direct way, but by way of indirectness. In other words, evidence. God a lot of times shows us what to do by showing us what not to do. Sometimes it requires diligent study to find the answer. God makes us dig. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God. And if you've ever been in any real study, and I'm sure that most of you listeners have, then you understand. The Bible says studiness is a weariness to the flesh. Man, you can study so hard sometimes you get a headache. But sometimes there are things, and when we're looking for answers, that we have to study to find the answer out, just like that. Not because God wants to make things difficult, but because we are sinful and we're weak and we're finite. And sometimes spiritually immature and rebellious. There's a lot of factors to factor in whenever we're studying God's Word and wanting to find out answers for things. All these things have to do with that. In Hebrews chapter 5, and verse 11 through 14, the Bible says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. You see, the Bible says there are differences in the weight of God's Word and what you can handle. Some people can only take milk right now, and some people can take strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth, now I want you to listen to this, strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. In other words, you've been at it a while. Even those who by reason of use, listen to this, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Did you get that? The Bible's talking about the difference right there in Hebrews about people in not putting anybody down or mocking anybody. He's just saying the difference between somebody that is on milk of the Word of God and somebody that is using strong meat of the Word of God. But somebody that's using strong meat, do you know how you know you have matured to that point that you're taking on strong meat? Do you know what the Bible says is a description of somebody that's eaten the meat of the Word of God and has matured? Listen to it again. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. You've been at it a while. All right, now here's what makes you strong. Even those who, by reason of use, in other words, you're not only just reading the Word of God and you're not only learning from the Word of God, but you're using the Word of God. By reason of use, have their senses, in other words, you using the Word of God is affecting your senses, exercised to discern both good and evil. In other words, just to put it in a real simple way, the way that you know that you are maturing in the Word of God and that you are growing spiritually is that it's getting easier and easier and easier to you to figure out what the difference is between good and evil. Yeah. Do you know that there are people in this world that cannot tell you what the difference in right and wrong is? Especially today. It's getting prominent in society. Don't you know that? There's people that can't tell you, grown-ups, that can't tell you the difference in good and evil and right and wrong and up and down and left and right and cold and hot. As a matter of fact, the world's trying to pull it all together and trying to make everything relative. There are no differences. That's where the world's headed. But God doesn't tell us to be like that anywhere in the Word of God. He says that a mature person in the Word of God has the ability and their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You can figure out what's right and what's wrong. That's pretty simple, isn't it? But don't you know that it's the hardest thing in the world, in society, for people to do? A lost person especially, and the ones that are in darkness and in the world without God. Without God in the world, they have nobody to help them. They don't know anything about the Word of God because it's spiritually discerned. And the natural man receiveth not the things of God of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. You have to be born again in order to understand and decipher God's Word and know what it means. That which is spiritual is spiritual. So approaching the Word of God and finding these answers out, the Bible has the answer. Now, you and I should know that there are some things that we're never going to understand until we get to glory, especially when it comes to His workings in our lives and those around us. Now, it's at these times that we should always give the Lord the benefit of the doubt, and that He is sovereign, and that He is on our side and could tell us the answer if He thought it was best. But He's decided to withhold it. So put it down on your to ask God list when you get to heaven and continue to believe that God is right and that He's beautiful. If God don't want you to know something, don't get mad about it. It ain't none of your business. If God don't want us to know, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for not putting that weight on me. If He don't want you to know, it's for your benefit. Put it down on your to ask God list. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 says this, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." Now, if you just take what was in that verse right there and break it down and try to learn it, that is enough for a lifetime, brother and sister. It says, great is the mystery of godliness. There's some things that God doesn't figure you need to know. And what we need to know, what we need to do is just give God the glory, accept it, that He's smarter than us and He don't want us to know. And not waste 20 years trying to figure it out. Just move on. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15 and 16, listen to this. "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." In other words, think like this. "And if any, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." In other words, if you got something that you want to know so bad that you want to know it, then wait on the Lord and ask Him, and perhaps God will show it to you. But in the meantime, concentrate on the things that you've already attained. The things God's already taught you, perfect those. "And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." In other words, don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. Put what you already know to use, and, you know, if we do that, we'll be doing good, and we'll be, what am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that we've probably already learned enough to keep us busy the rest of our lives without getting into a bunch of nonsense questions that God's not going to tell us the answer to, and we really don't need to know anyway. Like the old saying, you know, is that the kids come up with, is God powerful enough to make a rock that He couldn't pick up? Who cares? And a lot of the silly questions that come up in society and in Christendom and in the church are nonsense questions that don't need never be asked anyway. And nobody's interested in it anyway. Just trying to act smarter than somebody else. That's what we need to avoid. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes." All they do is cause fights and arguments. It says, "Foolish and unlearned questions avoid." If you're never going to get the answer, don't ask the question anymore. Forget it. The Bible says we are to avoid foolish and unlearned questions. If you've never... See, that's what science is spending all our money on. They're trying to figure out things, and all they're doing is getting rocks. They spent billions and billions and billions and trillions and billions and billions and trillions of dollars going up there to the stinking moon, and the only thing got to show for it is a rock. And they ain't figured nothing out yet. Nothing. To help cancer, to help heart disease, to help the people with the skin, the EB problems where people can't grow skin. They've done nothing. Science has done nothing for all that. Now, I'm not going to get into all that, but spending all this money asking all these questions that's already been asked and got no answers for it and could be doing something else. We are not to, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 And verse 7, the Bible says, "But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather to godliness." Don't get into all that foolishness and foolishness. The Bible says in Titus and chapter 3 and verse 9, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." This means that our questions should be sincere questions, for the right reasons and the right motives, such as faith and personal growth and godliness, never for malicious and fleshly reasons. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Now, if we're going to be studying and asking questions and approaching the Word of God, you cannot give thanks and whatever we do in word and deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by asking foolish questions and going over genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law and things that are unprofitable and vain, that never do anything about anything or come to any conclusions at all, and everybody walks away confused, and nobody got any kind of peace or satisfaction off of it or spiritual enlightenment of it. It was just a bunch of confusion and blabbity-blabbity flapping the gums. Wasn't nothing good about it at all. The Lord says avoid all this kind of garbage, and that's what we're going to do. We should never approach the Word of God in questions for malicious reasons, like, "I'm going to show my wife this one," or "I'm going to show my husband this one." Nah, 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 nah. Any question that continually requires another question without any light should be avoided. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4 says, Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, things that just won't come to a conclusion. They just keep asking question after question after question, which minister questions. It says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. You see, God's Word is not going to confuse us. It's not going to lead us into contentions. It's not going to cause us to strive. It's not going to be foolish. And it's not going to make us ask question after question after question after question and only end up with a rock. That's not the purpose of God's Word. And that's not how you should approach God's Word or ask questions to God's Word seeking answers. And we're not going to do it that way. Well, what about this? Well, what about that? Well, can God make a rock that's too big for Him to pick up? That's not the way to do it. And the Lord tells us, right there in 2 Timothy 2:23 and 1 Timothy 4:7 and Titus chapter 3 verse 9 and Colossians chapter 3 verse 17, where we've just been reading, and 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 4 tells us to avoid it. Don't give heed to it and don't get involved and mixed up in the middle of all that garbage. And that's not the way we're going to do this. This is quite an introduction here, but, you know, these are things that we need to know, things to keep in mind when we're asking God's Word questions. You can't make a fool out of God. He'll pull your britches down in front of everybody. You try to make a fool out of God, all these smart people walking around with their snoots in the air and their shoulders back and all the creases in their suits and their shirts and blabbity blabbity blab and got no intention on wanting to find anything out sincerely from the Word of God. They're just show offs. Now be careful. Another thing is to be careful not to major on the minors and to minor on the majors. And the Lord tells us the difference of what major, what is major, and what is minor, and what we should do. That's why the Bible says to study the Word of God. When you find out how God's Word is really made up and you start getting in there, you're going to find out that God put God's Word, He put His Word together to where man can't get in there and manipulate it, because you're going to blow your brains out trying to outsmart God's Word. When you start really learning what God's Word, there's a piece over here and a piece over here and a piece over here and a piece over here. Like you take a puzzle, open it up, a puzzle box, and open it up and just throw it all over the house. There's a piece over there and a piece over there and a piece over there and a piece over there. And it takes a lot of time to put them pieces together. And then if you want to get the big picture, you're going to have to work at it. It's not so that God can make fools of us. It's so because God knows what's in us, like the Lord Jesus Christ. He said that we're evil, and He knows what we are and who we are and what we're made of and what we'll try if we can get away with it. That's why the Lord didn't leave a picture of Himself, because people be arguing and fighting over who gets the patent on it so they can sell it. Yeah. Now, when you discover a Bible answer, put it into practice. Now, we shouldn't major on the minors and minor on the majors. Time will help us to learn how to do this, but we do need to remember that one of Satan's traps is to get a believer to run off on some insignificant thing in order to stop him from bearing fruit. In other words, you're chasing something that don't mean nothing, like going to the moon to get a rock. Now, what does the Bible say we should do? In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3-6, listen to this. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. In other words, when you start finding out God's doctrine and the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll cause you to be more godly. He is proud, knowing... let me read it over. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, which cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. If you're reading the Word of God for the right reasons, it'll cause you to be more godly. If you're reading it from the wrong reasons, it'll cause you strife and railings and evil surmisings and perverse disputing of men corrupt of minds and destitute of the truth. You don't even know the truth. You're just pretending. You're a fake. And I'm not talking about you, because I know you're not in this for that. But this is good stuff to know, ain't it? And we should know this before we attempt asking God's Word questions. Does it make sense to you? Of course it does. It's God's Word. The Lord tells us all the verses that we've been reading. Avoid this garbage. Don't even get involved in it. And that's what I was telling you to begin with about these studies. They're ABC studies. And as we go through them, we want to learn the Word of God. And that's the whole reason for this stuff, is to learn God's Word and to give Him glory and to become more godly and to be more pleasing to our Lord. This world is hard enough to live in as it is, especially getting into stupid conversations and wicked things that aren't wholesome and fighting with people about stuff that don't mean nothing, that always ends up just a stinking rock from the moon. Not to mention that moon rock, so many times, but that's exactly what it is. It's a $1 trillion stinking moon rock. Now, when you discover the answer, put it into practice. some answers, and many of them, your flesh is not going to like or approve of. And there lies one of the battles of the Christian life. As we go through this study of asking questions, you're going to find out, and I told you when we started this recording right here, that you're going to find out things that you didn't know before, and you might have to unlearn some things that you've taught yourself, because the Bible teaches us the truth, and it's going to clash with some of the things that we think we already know. And which one are you going to believe? So prepare yourself when we start finding the truths out about these things. If God's Word indeed teaches us something contrary to what we already believe, what are we going to do about it? We're going to put out what we're wrong about and put in what we're right about, what God's right about, right? We're going to believe what the truth is and believe the Lord over what we already know, right? Right. Okay. So don't give in. When you find out what God's will is, begin the change. And that's what we're going to do together. We're going to find out what God's Word says about these questions. We're going to believe it. We're going to be happy about believing it. We're going to be glad about knowing the truth. And we're going to move forward. Amen? The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's right. We don't have to change. God doesn't change. James chapter 1, verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. All right. Questions often asked. See, we got through the whole first recording without asking one question. We done good, didn't we? All right. Well, let me give you these scriptures. And as you know, I always hand you out scriptures, and you need these scriptures. Now, that's another thing I was going to tell you about, writing me or giving me an email that you want this stuff in. You want these studies on paper. I also have all the scriptures written in order along parallel with the lesson, so that you don't have to track them. They're all written down for you. If you'd like them, I'll give you them also. So you got your pencils? Okay. Here they are, the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14:33, Genesis chapter 11, verse 7 through 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 through 31, 2 John chapter 1:10, 2 John chapter 1 verse 10, excuse me. John chapter 17 verse 17. Psalm chapter 12 verse 6 and 7. Psalm chapter 138 verse 2. Proverbs chapter 30 verse 5 and 6. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 28 through 30. Psalm chapter 19, verse 10 and 11. Now, that was the introduction scriptures, and then we started talking about things to keep in mind when you're asking the Bible questions. These are the scriptures that had to do with that topic. Psalm chapter chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Psalm chapter 119, verse 89. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 14. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15 and 16. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. Just a few more. Titus chapter 3, verse 9. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 6. And the last one for today is James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22. All right. Well, there's our complete introduction to the questions often asked in our study number 17, the letter Q. And I'm looking forward to this, aren't you? We didn't get in no questions today, but we got a foundation of how we should approach this study. Now, this is quite a long study. It's going to be a little while before we finish this. We're going to ask a lot of questions. There's a lot of, that's what I was telling you about finding out, things that you might not know that the Bible actually says about things. And that's what we're studying. What does the Bible actually say? And that's what we're going to find out. And this is, in all, there's about 47 pages in this study alone. So if you want them, email me and I'll send them to you. But we're going to study every word of it. All right. So going into the next recording, and I hope to hear and be with you in that study. I hope you're there and we study together. But the first thing we're going to talk about is what happens to infants and little children when they die. What does the Bible say? Do you know? Why don't you know? What do you think happens to them? If you were God, what would happen to them? If you was a man, what would happen to them? We're going to go through this. What happens to infants and little children if they die? All right. Well, thank you so much for joining in today. And I appreciate you. And brothers and sisters, there's nothing more important than us studying and fellowshipping with one another over the Word of God. So you hang in there and let's do this. God bless you and have a wonderful evening or morning or whatever it is you're having. I enjoyed being with you and the Lord bless you. Bye-bye.